This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So before I hand over to David, who's going to be bringing us the word of God today, I'm going to read our passage for today, which is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. It's called Jesus Restores a Demon-Possessed Man. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus's feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true and that it brings us life. And we ask right now, as we hear David speak, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would bring new truth and new life to us. Lord, would you bless David as he speaks this morning? Amen.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Thank you, Helen. That's a great story. We'll come to that in a minute. I'm still, it's good to be with you, but I'm still a bit sad after last weekend's football results. I'm more sad because of the abuse heaped on some of the players. But I got a happy message for you today, so that'll make up for it a bit. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the ways Jesus responds when he encounters injustice. So a couple of weeks ago, Jesus encountered exclusion. Do you remember the story of the leper? He encountered exclusion, he sees injustice, and then he reached out his hand to touch the untouchable. And then last week, remember the story about the woman caught in adultery? Jesus encounters discrimination and he sees injustice and he goes about restoring equality. This week is oppression and his oppression, and he sees injustice and he sets the person free. Jesus wields the power and pays the price for freedom from oppression. Now, each time we've looked at these stories, and today, you might be the person, you might feel in that story that you're the one who is being set free, who is being restored, who is being touched. And that's great. Or you may be the one thinking, Jesus has commissioned me to do this, and I need to be the one wielding the power in Jesus' name and reaching out to touch the untouchable, restoring equality by giving up some of my power and privilege. Or casting out demons to release someone from oppression. The sort of stuff in this story doesn't happen very often, But we are engaged in dealing with demons sometimes. And a few years ago, when we were in running our house group in our previous church in London, one of the young men, a married young man in the house group, he had a really oppressed life. He had a dysfunctional family background, very difficult health conditions. And he was demonized in many ways. And we ministered to him. We had to take time out. It took quite a long time. But we prayed, and in Jesus' name, we were able to cast out some demons. Now, we didn't do it anywhere near as quickly or as sort of efficiently as Jesus seems to be able to do it. But it was wonderful to see the freedom that this guy experienced. In this story, Jesus puts foot, as soon as his toes go in the sand on the beach, he's confronted by this guy who is a demon possessed, which is something extreme. We don't see that terribly often. And the story. He was running around in the graveyards outside of the town that he lived in. And Jesus cast out thousands of demons, many demons out of him, legion they were called. Drove them into the pigs, off the cliff, they drowned. And then the people were all a bit upset and awestruck by this, and they sent him away. And then Jesus tells the guy to go and preach the gospel, share the good news. And this is God's word to us, this story, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. We don't know quite when Luke was writing his stories, his biography of Jesus, probably 70 to 80 AD, about 40 or 50 years after Jesus had lived and died and rose again. Luke would have been in his 70s by then and wanted to capture things as he got to the end of his life, explaining to the church about the kingdom of God, about the life of Jesus and the growth of the church. But this particular story raised lots of questions, what's all this about the graves and the gravestones, and why the pigs, and why that thing with the pigs, and why does Jesus do what the demons ask him to do? And why does Jesus send the man away? And why doesn't Jesus get beaten up by the pig farmers? The context. Context is that this is one of a series of big miracles in a row, if you read through the chapter before and after. And in a little while, Jesus actually turns around to his disciples. He does it all. And then in a little while, he turns to his disciples and he gives them the commission. He empowers them to do this stuff. They all come back really happy. It's in the next chapter saying, it's amazing. And then they go on and feed 5,000 people. Do you remember that? And the disciples get to join in with that. And then Jesus says, if you want to see this, if you want to do this, if you want to be part of this mission, count the cost. Carry your cross. There's a price to pay. When Jesus encounters oppression, he sees injustice, he wields the power, and he pays the price for freedom. The oppressive activity of demons takes many forms, and this is an extreme example, possession, but whenever the enemy has power of any sort in our lives, chaos results. But here Jesus deals with the demons, he frees the man, he restores justice. And the man, it's one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture. Here is the man fully clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Restoration, heart to heart. Chaos has become peace and order. The demonic chaos has gone elsewhere. Perhaps as I described that, you want to be set free like that. If so, we've got great, wonderful good news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come among us in our brokenness with that power to bring healing to our hurt and hope for eternity. Whatever your life is like, if you're oppressed, if your life is in chaos, come to Jesus. Kneel at his feet and find your life restored, your mind at peace, your sins forgiven. And don't we, those of us who are followers of Jesus, just want to be part of God's mission to set free people free from oppression like that? Isn't that the buzz? Isn't that why we do this? I said earlier that Jesus wields the power and pays the price to set people free. This is the point. There is a price to pay when the oppressed are set free. The reason we can receive forgiveness is because Jesus paid the price for our sin. He brought good news, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and then he went to the cross, brutally tortured in our place. Interestingly, in this story, the price is also an economic one. The local pig farmers who lost hundreds, maybe thousands of pigs. There's sometimes an economic price to pay when oppression is encountered. So my friend, let's call him Fred, who we prayed for in London. A few years later, they came to stay with us in Leeds. And they had their week's holiday with us. And they came, they weren't a wealthy family, and they ran a clapped out old Ford Fiesta. And they turned up, all four of them, crammed into this Ford Fiesta, full of their week's luggage, on the roof, out the boot, everything. Don't know how it got up the M1. And they parked in our drive where there were already two cars, our cars, nice cars, big cars, modern cars. One a big saloon. Now, I'm telling you this story not to make us sound special. We don't do this stuff very often. But there was a specific prompt from the Holy Spirit to God to address this economic expression of oppression. And by the end of the week, we had, Alice and I had decided, and we handed them the keys to our saloon, big saloon family car, and they drove off back to London in that with all their stuff and left us with this rust bucket of a Ford Fiesta, which I managed to get another year out of before it fell apart. So the first time round, when we were praying for against the demons, it was great to see somebody set free in a spiritual way. And the second time round, when we gave them the car, it was great to see that car still in happy use years later when we saw it in the car park when we visited the church in London. Spiritual and material. But there's more. We've got freedom for the person. What about freedom for an oppressed people? Now, back to Luke. When he was probably writing this history, I said 70s or 80s AD, it was just after the start of the Jewish-Roman War, which resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem and went on for some 50 years or so. One of the uprisings in that war was dealt with and put down in a place called Gerasa. And it was done by a Roman legion who was called the 10th Fretensis, was the name of the legion. And they were reputed to have killed 1,000 young men in that area and taken their wives and children as captives. So a Roman legion would have had several thousand soldiers, which would give meaning to the many demons in verse 30, where it identifies itself as called legion. And on their shields, this Roman legion also had the symbol of a pig or a boar. So I think what's going on here is a double story. Luke is declaring the power of Jesus to set the individual free, but is also setting a people free. And the legion that had brought chaos to this region was sent over the cliff to its own destruction. Whether it's freedom from oppression for an individual or for a people, there is a price to be paid. Jesus embodies that principle in his life and death on the cross. I said earlier on that a bit later on, after these amazing miracles and after Jesus has commissioned the disciples in Luke chapter 9, the verse during these miracles, Jesus commissions the disciples and he says this, that he sends them out with power to cast out demons, heal the sick, and proclaim the gospel. And that commission comes on to us. And they go and do it. But then he brings them back after all of this stuff that they've seen and been part of, incredible miracles of all different sorts and sizes. And then he says, do you want to be part of this? Do you want to follow me? Feed 5,000, calm the storm, cast out demons, heal the sick. Well, take up your cross daily, he says. There is power needed for justice, and there is a price paid for justice. So here's our challenge, brothers and sisters. It's all very well us talking about justice issues and having groups and all that. It's fantastic that we're doing that. It's all very well us talking about restoring relationships heart to heart and saying the right things. We've been given the power in Jesus' name. Now, what price are we willing to pay? Big subject, one for you to talk about in your small groups perhaps, but here's three things to think about at three different levels in different ways that this could work out. Last week, Jamaica launched a legal case for reparations to be paid by Great Britain for the slaves in slavery of millions in the last few centuries. They want us to pay £7.6 billion. That's a lot of pigs. Are we willing to pay the price to put right that oppression, to bring justice? Let's bring it to a local level. You've heard me say many times that I disagree heartily with our government's approach to refugees and people from other countries. But as we do give some homes to refugees, to some refugees, are we willing to wait longer to see our GP? Are we willing to put our children into our second, third choice schools? That's a price to be paid to bring justice, to release people from oppression. At a personal level, how much of our power, our privilege, our wealth are we willing to give so that the oppressed can be set free? Let's just stop for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us before I summarize and finish. Holy Spirit, this is such a challenge. It's great to be part of the power in your name and to see people healed, but there's a price to be paid. Lord, I pray right now that you will speak to each of us about where you want us to speak in your name and command people to be set free, but also where we need to pay a price. Just as in that quiet moment, perhaps the Lord has prompted you or reminded you about a situation or a person or something where you can speak his will for justice and with the power in his name, and you can also do something from a paying a price point of view. Let me wrap up. So Jesus surrendered his power and his privilege to be amongst us and save us. Jesus paid the greatest price when he carried the cross and gave up his own life for us. And when Jesus encounters oppression, he sees injustice. We see that again and again and again. And he sets people free. He clothes them. He banishes chaos. He brings peace of mind. He wields the power and he pays the price for freedom. And I want you to realize that you too, as followers of Jesus, if that's what you are commissioned and empowered to bring freedom from oppression at the spiritual level and at the material level, for individuals and for people. Yes, you are. You're empowered to do that. This is your job description. So may we be thankful. Thankful for the ultimate price Jesus paid of giving up his own life so that we too can be clothed and in our right minds. May we have faith to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to preach the good news in Jesus' name. May we join in God's mission to bring justice and set the oppressed free. Let us take up our cross. Let us follow Jesus. Let us free the oppressed in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite Alison to join me as we pray together in our remaining time. Before I hand over to Alison to lead us in some prayer, let's just wait on what I've been talking about. And I sense that for some people, this idea that we have in Jesus' name, we can speak with power is maybe new. Maybe you're not familiar with the gifts of the Spirit that Jesus gives to speak truth, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. If that's news to you, or if you've let that slip, then let's just wait on him for a moment. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and will anoint you with his gifting and prompting in those areas. Okay? So Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. To every person who has stopped what they're thinking and doing at the moment and is just waiting to receive from you. And Lord, would you release all over the community of Leeds Vineyard, all those people watching now, would you release your gifts to empower them, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to speak truth, to be prophetic, to feed the hungry. Would you release your amazing manifestations of power and change people's lives and save them, make them whole, banishing chaos, bringing peace, giving them hope, forgiving their sins, granting them a new life. Come, Holy Spirit, and release amongst us these gifts so that we can speak in your name. Amen. Whatever the Lord has prompted in you for that, you have to put it into action. So look for the opportunity to do, pray for the sick or whatever it is in the coming days and weeks.
Well, I'd like to just follow up as well on that on a slightly different angle, but connected. In the story that we read, a lot of the reactions were fear. The people told Jesus to go away because of fear. And the people who saw what happened ran away because of fear. And it was just a sense that there are some people who would love to be more involved in this sort of ministry, to be able to join in with what Jesus is doing in that whole area. But they're fearful. And maybe from previous experiences or whatever, you've withdrawn and you've sort of held back from being involved in that sort of situation. And I just sensed that Jesus was just saying, just keep your eyes on me, look at me, come to me, get to know me better. It's all about him and keeping our eyes on him. And there was another word, which I'm just going to look up on here, which was sort of connected to that, which was to do with the picture was of trumpets sounding around the walls of Jericho. And Jesus was reminding us that in the face of fear and strongholds and oppression, worship is the key to weakening them so that we can fall to the ground, bringing our freedom. So it's just a reminder. It's similar to the keep our eyes on him, but just that what the key is worship and celebrating what God can do, believing what he will do, trusting in who he is. So I'll just pray into that a little bit. Lord, we just bring any fearful response, however that expresses itself, in the face of oppression and strongholds and ministering into that whole area. And Lord, we do repent of believing lies that it's scary or that, well, whatever the lies are in that context, you know what they are for yourself. We repent of that. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to keep our eyes on you. Lord, give us revelation. Come and meet us in our devotional times, Lord, and just equip us, but equip us with a deeper sense of who you are and a deeper relationship with who you are. And we pray, Lord, that where for those who have shrunk back out of fear, that they will begin to step into again all that you have for them in terms of ministry and what you want to do through them.